In the summer of 1958, the tranquil waters of the Alabaster River in Black Earth County, Minnesota, became the site of a crime that would expose a community's deepest wounds. When the body of Jimmy Quinn, the county's wealthiest and most despised landowner, is discovered caught in driftwood, partially eaten by catfish, Sheriff Brody Dern's investigation uncovers secrets that many would prefer stayed beneath the surface. The river that once represented childhood swimming holes and fishing spots transforms into something darker, a keeper of the town's collective memory, flowing with stories both beautiful and painful. For Noah Bluestone, the river carries the history of his Dakota ancestors who once farmed the land now owned by Quinn. For Felix Klein, it represents a bittersweet connection to his wife Hannah, who took her own life in its waters. As Charlie Bauer reflects years later, our lives merge like rivers, flowing together in ways we cannot always predict or control. War's shadow looms over Black Earth County, with nearly every male character bearing its wounds. Sheriff Brody Dern suffers nightmares from his POW experience in Burma, haunted by guilt after accidentally smothering a wounded comrade. Sam Wicklow uses a prosthetic leg, while Noah Bluestone faces discrimination despite his service. Most damaged is Tyler Creasy, who returned from combat fundamentally changed, once the best of all my boys, now terrorizing his wife Ramona and stepson Dell with unpredictable violence. Velma Creasy's admission that she sometimes wishes they'd just shipped him back to me in a coffin reveals war's devastating impact on families. 13-year-old Scott Madison and Dell play with toy guns, their naive glorification contrasting sharply with veterans' experiences. Scott's eventual confrontation with real violence, shooting Tyler to save Dell, becomes his own traumatic initiation, something that will haunt Scott for the rest of his life. Beneath Black Earth County's placid surface lies a web of secrets. Sheriff Brody maintains multiple deceptions. His fictional girlfriend Lila conceals his affair with Garnet, while he hides his war experiences from all but his mother. Finding Quinn's body, he tampers with evidence, removing fingerprints and a blood-splattered whiskey bottle to protect the innocent. Angie Madison's journals reveal her past as Jolie Ray LeBlanc from Louisiana, who worked in a Houston brothel before creating a new identity. Her panic when these journals disappear shows her vulnerability. When she confesses to Brody, his response, "We do what we have to, all of us, we survive," offers rare acceptance. The Quinn family harbors the darkest secrets. Fiona McCarthy reveals her father sexually abused her while her family remained silent. This pattern continued with other young women, including Sissy Barrows and potentially Colleen Quinn. When Marta Quinn discovers Jimmy with an unconscious Colleen, her terminal illness becomes the catalyst for ending the cycle of abuse with a bullet. Haven't we all kept secrets we believed were protecting someone? But when does protection become complicity? The novel explores justice beyond legal frameworks through Sheriff Brody, who tampers with evidence believing some truths should remain buried. His actions raise a central question. When should justice follow the law, and when might it require breaking it? Jimmy Quinn's murder presents a moral conundrum. While murder is unlawful, Marta's motive, protecting her daughter from sexual assault, creates sympathy. Attorney Charlie Bauer keeps Marta's confession secret, prioritizing a dying mother and her children over legal obligations. Noah Bluestone's willingness to take blame demonstrates justice through sacrifice and love. His choice to protect Marta, knowing her limited time with her children, shows extraordinary compassion. Yet as a Dakota man married to a Japanese woman in 1958 America, he faces immediate suspicion from the legal system. Sam Wicklow's editorial defending Noah's right to presumption of innocence is considered controversial, revealing how deeply racial bias pervaded justice at that time. In Black Earth County, land transcends property. It defines identity and belonging. Jimmy Quinn, the county's largest landowner with 1,000-plus acres, views land as wealth and status. Despite material success, Quinn remains profoundly unhappy, attempting suicide even after a good harvest. He relates to his property through control, managing it with clockwork precision through tenants who feared his wrath. Noah Bluestone maintains a spiritual connection to the land. He returns despite discrimination because, in spite of everything, it's home. His love is sensory. The smell of freshly turned soil, the wind in tall grass, and the alabaster river where he fished and swam. For Noah, land represents heritage, not possession. This contrast reveals America's complicated relationship with land. Noah's ancestor, Takoda, warned white settlers of danger, but was later tortured and killed. When Takoda's family returned from forced relocation, Quinn's ancestors had legally claimed their land, illustrating how property rights often emerge through violence and indigenous displacement. The novel reveals that J.P. Quinn is actually Noah's biological son, connecting the families through blood rather than just disputed land. Kyoko's decision to deed the Bluestone property to J.P. acknowledges both legal realities and deeper connections. The River We Remember celebrates courage in unlikely individuals. 13-year-old Scott Madison shows physical bravery by rescuing Holly Coleridge from drowning despite his heart condition, and later faces an even greater test when he must shoot Tyler Creasy to save Dell's life, an act requiring tremendous courage from a boy who had only played at being a soldier. Charlie Bauer demonstrates professional courage by defending Noah Bluestone despite community hostility. As a female attorney in 1950s rural Minnesota, she breaks barriers and stands firm in her principles despite warnings about making enemies. Marta Quinn displays endurance through strategic compromise. After arriving from Nazi Germany to help her dying cousin, then marrying Jimmy Quinn out of necessity, her courage emerges when she finally confronts Jimmy to protect Colleen, ending years of abuse. Kyoko Bluestone exhibits sustained courage through quiet dignity. Having survived Nagasaki's bombing and faced discrimination in America, she maintains her humanity despite trauma, assuring Noah, "We are not ruined after being assaulted," refusing to be defined by victimhood. In the epilogue, an aging Charlie Bauer reflects on how the summer of 1958 shaped both individual lives and the community's collective identity. Scott Madison becomes a public defender, channeling his trauma into seeking justice while remaining haunted by if-onlys. His annual ritual of placing flowers and a torn page from The Naked and the Dead on Dell's grave preserves painful memory. Del Wolfe's death in Vietnam connects the novel to broader American history, showing how traumas flow between eras. Meanwhile, Sam Wicklow's successful novel Spirit River represents another legacy, art that helps communities process collective trauma. The Alabaster River continues flowing, indifferent yet witnessing everything. Like the river, we carry forward both beauty and pain in our shared memory. The waters that once held Jimmy Quinn's body still nourish the land, just as difficult truths eventually lead to healing. As Charlie prepares to lie down in peace beside the moonlit, milk-white flow of the Alabaster, we understand that acknowledging our shared history offers the best path to healing, not by forgetting the past, but by making peace with it.